Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Let's start with what your biggest struggle is currently in dating. A lack of dates, a lack of honest, God-fearing men, lack of men who are okay waiting for sexual intimacy or expect sexual intimacy right away with the development of a relationship, finding men my age who want a family who haven't already been married or have kids.
Oh, yes. Yes. Pretty much in a nutshell, yes. The one thing, like every time people post stuff on that, on our Christian group, I just feel like it's the older you get, the harder the dates. Okay. There's two different phenomena. When you're younger, I feel like the guys are less focused and less like they're just all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there you get, I think maybe in your 30s, it might be okay, but I'm now like 42. So I think that the older you get, the harder it is to find single men that don't have families already, that haven't been divorced. I mean, it's not a bad thing if they are. It's just extra baggage, you know, mm-hmm. And a lot of times they won't want children at that point. And it's like, no, I do, because, you know, I've not been married before. And so that's harder. I think that was one of your questions, single, never married, no kids. And so for me, like, my thing is I really do want a family. I really do want, you know, to be married and do all the traditional things. And I think that a lot of times the dating pool gets polluted with people who have like, oh, I have such and such experience and I'm coming with this. And you're like, well, I have no experience, so I have no idea what you're talking about. I cannot relate. So I think there's a lot of different experiences you come into after a certain age that is really hard. And then the moral stuff, that's the one that I answered. That is hard too, because people can call themselves a Christian outwardly and not be a practicing Christian. And that happens in all life stages. But I find like in the older, again, when you get older, it's just they're more set in their ways. Mm. And they can't hide it as much. So you just basically have to be like, okay, what are you willing or not willing to do? In a way, it's good because you could just like put everything up front. Mm. But at the time, you're still having to go through that whole process. And yeah, it's just a lack of guys. And then it's a weird phenomenon too that I've been experiencing, where they think that the older you get, the less you should wait for to have sex before marriage. And their excuse is like, well, I'm already in my late 30s. Why should we wait? You know, we shouldn't wait. And it's like, it's not about waiting. It's about finding the right person to be intimate with, not just doing a whole free for all. But I think that people aren't, who don't want to really practice certain Christian values, they just make that excuse like, well, I've been married like twice, or I have kids. Like, I really don't want to wait to have sex if we're dating. And it's like, well, I mean, like, you could sort of see some points of view. It's like, okay, if you've dated for a while and you feel like this is the right person, like I can see why they would say that. But then when you're going on one date, they expect you to just, you know, just do it after the first date. And I was like, that is not okay. So yeah, I feel like that is what I've been encountering.
Yeah, well, I'm still encountering all of that, and I'm not quite yet 34. So, yep, okay. It's still just as bad down here.
No, trust me. It's so weird, because I remember when online dating first started, and I think that I was 25. I remember, because I was like, they only had like two online dating websites. One was Match.com, and one was that other one. Ugh, can't remember now. It's the one where you have.
Was it eHarmony?
Yes, eHarmony. Okay. So eHarmony had a million and one questions. Mm-hmm. And then there was Match.com that just had a picture and just profile. And so that was a lot easier. But I remember going through eHarmony thinking this is, you know, I can find someone good, but I really didn't because I think I was just curious when I was like 25 and I'm like, well, let's just try it and see. And eHarmony just had, it was good, but it was like too many questions. Like it was just like that person would look great on paper, but then when you actually met up with them in person, like there was zero chemistry. It was like,
yeah,
great on paper. So, and then now it's just very convoluted where you have, now I can't think of any of the names, but the original one that the original swiping.
Like Tinder.
Yeah, Tinder. Yeah. Sorry. Tinder came and like changed everything. It was like Match and eHarmony for years and years and everything was very traditional. And then Tinder came with this whole swiping revolution about like 5 or 8 years ago. No, seven or eight years ago. I'm like getting so old. And then now it's just like swiping and hooking up and like that person's cute. I don't even need to look at their profile. They're cute. And it used to be okay. And then I went there like maybe a year ago. And I was just like, okay, God. And I think I had my thing open for like 1 week and I was like, no, no, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The apps are bad. They're horrible. But you make so many great points in the sense that like it can be such a struggle to like be in that place where you might find a guy that's interesting and or you're interested in, but he has all this experience. Like I think that's what you said. And then like you don't have much. And so it's like that balance, right? And I say I'm just over here like, okay, I mean, I don't mind being a stepmom or a bonus mom. But anyway, like being in that, like that position brings in a whole lot of other, you know, struggles and stuff that you have to kind of figure out. And I don't know where I was going with that, but I just want to say you made some great points and the dating apps suck. And yes.
I think the dating apps are just like, I've always said this, and it's so hard to talk on that Facebook about in our group. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's real when you're shielded by a computer, but I feel like the dating apps are just, they're a platform to be used by humans, and you can use it horribly or you can use it great. And there is a limitation to it where it's not an in-person contact. So obviously there's going to be that limitation. So you're always going to have that limitation. But I mean, I've heard people find great matches over it, but those are people that are using it to the best of their ability. And then you have people that are abusing it, who are not ready to date, who are just look at attention, who just want to, you know, have a hookup, or who are like already married or committed and just want to like cheat on their spouse. And I've seen that tons and tons of times. And I think that's despicable, but people use things for their own, you know, gain. Mm-hmm. So and essentially these apps are just platforms and people are using it any which way they can. Unfortunately, it's making it easier for the cheaters and the bad people to use it in a bad way. And it's not even, so you get the good people on there, but you have to sift through a lot of bad people to get to the good people, because the bad people are always going to outweigh the people that are actually wanting to use it for legitimate reasons. Mm-hmm. And have like the well-rounded personalities. And I mean, to find that is like a needle in the haystack sometimes to me. And you really don't know people until you spend time with them, especially if they're a complete stranger. Like you meet these complete strangers off of Facebook or these apps and you have no contacts. You don't know what community. This is a larger issue if you want me to expand, but it's a larger issue in the Christian community, because instead of women going to their churches and meeting men and men and women meeting the churches, they're going outside. Mm-hmm. So whenever you go outside a safe community, you're going to have like a lot of weird people, you know, like, I mean, you're going to get weird people in church too, but it's not as, but you don't like you. So I feel like you get more protection through a community than you do through like meeting one-on-one. And I think that's when a lot of predators will get online and try to like, you know, scam you or take advantage of you, because you don't have the protection of a of people around you who can be like, hey, that guy looks suspicious. Hey, that guy doesn't have a family, or he, you know, he went broke and got divorced, and here's all the gossip on this person. I mean, not saying gossip is great, but you, when you have a community, people know you better mm-hmm. and vouch for your character. Whereas with these online people, you cannot vouch for people's character. You don't know, you know, their family life. You don't know how many girlfriends or they've had in their lifetime. You know, you don't know anything about them. And so that's the scary part. But people do get married off of it. So, I mean, I can't say that they're horrible. It's just, you just really have to be extremely careful with the people you're meeting. And because you don't know them, you have to take, it takes a while to really know who someone is over like a period of time, because you really can't, you can't speed up the dating process, I would say. I mean, if you do, it's like a God-given thing. But when you are out there dating, you really have to take your time to get to know somebody. You can't fall in love in 2 seconds, you know, like mm-hmm. if it do, I don't think it's realistic. I think that you have to develop a friendship. You have to develop, you know, kind of like patterns, and like, you know, you live this far away from me. I, you know, when should we meet, you know, all that stuff, like just has to flow. And I think that I've met a lot of guys that will like, cause I live in, I don't know if I'm there where, but I live in a community outside Atlanta mm-hmm. in Georgia. And so when I put on my parameters, I always see people that are like on the edge, you know, like it's so weird. They're not like 10 minutes away. They're like 40 to an hour. So like I even did the Facebook dating and I met this guy and I really, really liked him. He apparently really, really liked me, but he just kept saying the distance was a huge part, that he couldn't get over the distance. And then he, you know, ended up meeting someone that was really close to him in his own community and just took it from there with that girl. And so I've seen that happen a couple of times where I'll really like a guy or the guy would really like me, but then the distance part was just like something we couldn't overcome, or the, you know, at least one person in the party doesn't want to overcome. And if one person can't do it, then you can't force them. Mm-hmm. And they're hard for me because there are potentially great people out there and they just, I don't know, for some reason or another, they don't like, are not comfortable with driving or the distance or the logistics. And I don't know, to me, it's just like God saying either that's not the right person for you or it's not the right time. And that's really hard because being Christian in this culture is really hard too, because you want someone to go to church with, you want them to meet your family, but all of that comes later, you know, and you can't just like start off with it. But that's, again, the problem with dating online. If you dated someone in your church, like you would already be familiar with them. They would already like know your friends, like at least like superficially, you know, and like you would be closer to like be potentially meeting their family. And you already have the fact that you have your faith in common and you go to the same church. So that's the bonus of that. So I see a lot of guys, like they just can't get out of their community, you know, or they live there from a small town and they want to get out of their community, but at the same time, they're not willing to drive the distance it takes to do that. And so they end up with the person that's closest to them. And I don't know, just to me, it's just like, it doesn't matter if that person is good enough for them, they'll just take it. Because I've heard this saying, and this is not something I put on the questions. I've heard this saying where they say that when a guy's ready to get married, whoever it is, whichever girl is in front of them, they're just going to go marry them. They don't care. And for yeah. And like for women, if a woman really wants to marry a guy, if the guy's not ready, they'll just keep putting it off and putting it off. And it's just like, and girls, we will wait forever. We'll just be like, oh, 8 years. Like, depending on how old you are, if you're like in your 20s, you could wait 8 years for a guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah. And I love the bigger issue that you brought up though, is, and that seems to be, and I'm going to paraphrase or at least paraphrase my opinion of what you said. like the bigger issue is that churches aren't necessarily, in my opinion, they don't have a space for singles. And that's at least been my experience. And, you know, and then there's also the issue of like, if you look at the majority of churches, they're filled with single women. There aren't single guys. And so that just points to another problem. but, you know, like if you're looking at it from that like big picture, the two issues are churches aren't helping out singles. And then we have a lack of guys just in church in general. And so it's kind of like, what the heck do we do? How do we fix that issue? And, you know, like, what does that look like? Because I agree, like, I would personally rather meet somebody like at church or through a group of friends or whatever, instead of online in some capacity. I mean, I'm not against it. It's just I like to be face to face with people. So, yeah.
So, okay. So how do you feel? So you're single right now and you're dating. Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like the church that you go to, like, so does it have like a singles group? Because I think that you're right. Like that I've been struggling, and I was I moved to Georgia when I was 32. And that's, I mean, I hadn't dated before that. So I really was late to the dating game, and that was part of it too. But even the church back home was like very careful with dating, because remember I'm a little bit older than you, but we grew up with the I Kiss Dating Goodbye book.
Yeah, same.
And they're just like, you don't date, you date to marry. So you want to pick the best person and then marry them. And it's like impossible if you've never had any experience dating anyone. Like you don't even have male friendships. You just, you know, they're like just acquaintances. Like it is so impossible to do that. It's like literally like, no, you need experience. You need to date a bunch of people. It doesn't matter like who the, you know, I mean, not doesn't matter who they are, but it's just like you need that experience to know what you want and what you don't want. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm from Maryland. So I left Maryland, moved to Georgia at 32. And even at 32, I still felt like I'm an older single person, and nothing, they just didn't have a space for us. It was just like families, children, young adults. And then you're like 32, you're like, you're not a young adult. You're not a family. Yep. Where do you go? It's
like, yep. That's exactly how my church is. Like they're young adults basically ends at like 30. And, I mean, it didn't even used to go that high. It used to end at 25. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay. So I've aged out of it multiple times because I aged out of it at the 25 mark. And then a couple years later, they were like, oh, okay, we're going to go up to 30. And so then by that point, I was like 28, 29. And then I aged out of it again. And now I'm almost 34 and they haven't upped the age again. So I'm just like, I have nothing. You know what I mean? Like there's no place for me. Granted, a lot of the people that are in the young adults people are individuals who I was in leadership over after I graduated high school, or after I graduated high school. They were like in junior high and high school. So they're not even my peers to begin with necessarily, you know? And so like, that is another thing that's kind of like, like, I don't mind being friends with them and stuff and like maybe hanging out with them occasionally, but it's still just like this weird thing where like I was in leadership and they were like,
yeah, yeah. You feel like you're isolated, like you're all by yourself. Like there's no other people that are single that are like your age. And I felt that like, even though I'm older than you, I've been feeling that since my late 20s, like you said, because I think that I think the young adult used to stop at 25, to be honest. Because I remember being 28 and thinking, oh my God, like I'm so old. Like this is when people get married. This is when people have kids. Like I don't. And like at that point, I was still living with my parents at home. And I started a second career because to me, it was more important to have my feet on the ground and be stable and have a good job and be settled in that before I dated and got married. But I think that is the world we live in, mm-hmm. because back in the day, women didn't have to do any of this stuff. We didn't have to like make money for ourselves. We didn't have to establish a career. We didn't even need to get higher education. You know, mm-hmm. it boggles my mind because I'm like, here I am. My mom is an immigrant and she's telling me get study. You know, in the Asian culture, it's all about studying, getting a good job, buying a house, like all these things to make yourself stable financially. That's every single part of the Asian culture. And she never lectured me about marriage. She never went to marriage. And I think because she was a woman, she just didn't. It's like she didn't really care about marriage. Like she didn't need marriage. And I think it's because she grew up in the 60s and that's when the whole sexual revolution was happening, women's liberation, women, you know, no longer being in the house and starting to go out and making money for themselves separate from men. So at that point, you're like, I don't even need a man for money. Because I mean, back in the day, women would just get married so that the guy could support them, the husband could provide, and then she would have the children. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. And nowadays, it's totally the opposite. It's like women feel like they have to go through higher education, get a career down, do all this and that and this and that before they get settled and have a family. So I think that our generation, and that's including you and even people in their 20s, just any young adult, they just feel this pressure to just perform and be, you know, make money and, you know, education and stuff like that. And it was it's less about getting married. And the thing is that marriage is as an institution is actually going down because that's why they extended the ages, because you see a lot of young people don't get married now because they're so focused on their career and making money and all this stuff. And there's so much pressure for women now to make money and have careers before getting married. So then you wait a lot longer. And then by the time you do get married, you realize like, oh, my, you know, I don't have enough time to have kids now. So then a lot of times they're going to like, they're realizing, okay, they're infertile and they can't do, you know, so there's a big boom with people going and like having fertility, like more scientific, you know, like the mm-hmm. embryos and the freezing of eggs. Like it's just the whole thing. And it's like, because our whole world is topsy-turvy now, we just inverted everything and made it seem like women should not be focusing on getting married. But then when we see our whole population, Tiffany, we see our whole population, there are so many unhappy women out there. They're like, I want to get married. I wanted to have kids. I wanted to like cook and do these things, these maternal things. And now I don't have a chance. My whole life passed me by and look at it. Look at me. You know, I have mm-hmm. a good job. That's fine. It's just, I didn't get the family I wanted. And that's exactly how I feel. Cause it's like, that was trained into my brain since I was little. And I think that it was a mistake almost, because it just, I think women are missing out on dating. They miss out on all the dating experiences and they miss out on getting to know men in a capacity where men are, let's just say nowadays it's really bad, but treating women like with a gentlemanly manner, like paying for their meals, like mm-hmm. being men. And it's just like nowadays in our culture, men are not allowed to be men. They're like, oh, the woman has to pay for everything and the woman's going to open her own door. And I'm, you know, and it's just so sad. And I think that is part of it too. And culture still haven't wanted to change the script. So we're still being fed, even to our kids. We're still being fed the whole feminism thing. And I'm telling you, that's not going to help females get males at any point in time, because men want a real girl, like a woman, like, you know, like a mature woman. You're still going to be dependent on a man. Like you can't, like we're interdependent with each other. And I don't understand this whole society like script where they're like, oh no, women don't need anything. And I'm like, shut up. We do. We love men and we need them. Stop it. So Sorry. I'm like, I'm going on a rant, but
you're fine. You keep ranting.
So that's, I mean, I feel like that's why I literally feel like that's part of the reason why I'm single still. It's just like, it's just this whole script. And I think that men are going into it being bitter and unhappy because they're like, well, every time I date a woman, they're not happy with this and that. Why can't they just be happy with the simple things? And I'm like, because society has told us that we cannot just have a man that does these simple things. We have to have emotional compatibility. You know, we have to have moral compatibility. I mean, moral compatibility is good too.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these other extras, because we are looking for a life mate, not just, you know, a guy who can provide now. So you have all these other extra criterias. And it's funny because all of the guys I've met, and I didn't put this in my answer, but a lot of them make less money than me. So that's a thing. And I've been like, okay, should I just accept it? And I have dated like every single guy I've dated, like none of them have had a degree in college. All of them have made less money than me. Maybe one has made more money than me. But and then the one guy that I did date, actually my first boyfriend, he wanted to go back into school and get a PhD. And I said, well, are you going to get married and have kids then? And he was like, well, maybe one kid, but having a kid is too expensive. And it's just like, oh my God, like, I don't like see it that way. And I just, it breaks my heart because I'm like, I don't think about that. When I think about having kids, I just think about, for me, it's about having a happy family, and it doesn't matter how much money you have. But I think today's society, the way the economy has been going too, has been really bad for dating. Mm. Because if you think about it, in order to afford one house, you have to have two family incomes now. And yep. It's just, oh my God, I feel like that is also against dating too. So I just, sometimes it just boggles my mind how anyone gets together in this.
I agree. I'm just like, I don't know how anybody's going to try and make this work. But also at the same time, I want to make it work, you know? And it's just, again, you bring up a lot of great points. And the feminist movement, I've said this a couple different times in some of these other episodes, but it's fine. I'm going to say it again. The feminist movement has caused way too many issues within the church, not just for like on both sides. And then like now we have the red pill guy movement, which in my opinion is doing the same thing, just an opposite, like is doing it at women now. And it's just like, when did we all get to this point where we're believing lies about the other? You know, like when did we get to this point where we think that, you know, it's not God's design for us to be together? Like, that's hello. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh my God. Like, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I don't know if you liked Barbie, the movie. Did you see Barbie?
I did not see the movie. So
maybe you're like the only person that didn't see it, or a woman that didn't see it. But I went in there with like, oh, it's Barbie. It's cute. I grew up playing with Barbies. And I have to say the level of authenticity it is about it is good. Like, it just brings to life what being female is, the pitfalls, all that stuff. I think this is what our world has come to because we have taken God out of our schools and God out of a lot of the culture that we live in. Like, we're like, oh, it's okay to just be whatever. You don't need a moral foundation, you know, a Christian, because our country was founded on a moral and Christian foundation. Mm-hmm. And they've stripping it like every single decade, year, whatever, they've been stripping it until there's like nothing there. Mm-hmm. And so you have kids now growing up in this generation, and you have Hollywood, and I know you you live in California, but yep, they're liberal people. And liberal used to not be a bad term. It used to not be a bad term. It just meant that, and liberal just meant that you had a certain view. But now that certain view is so extreme to the point where it's like, okay, this Barbie movie is just saying all of the, and it's the fall of man, basically. It's like, okay, you basically like said that, yeah, women are going to be sad and it's a fallen world and you get that, but they don't have God in there. So because God is not in there, the way they see men is very different. So men are seen as these, you know, do nothings that are just there. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any significant relationship with women. They can't provide for them. They can't be, women don't need them. And I just was shocked at that message, because I'm like, you're teaching this to 6-year-olds and 12-year-olds, and they're growing up and they're very impressionable, and you're teaching them that they don't need a man to be happy. I mean, honestly, we don't need men to be happy, but we still need men in our society. Even if you're not married, men are very important part of our society, like, mm-hmm. and they're just denying the role of men. And I don't know, the whole movie's a train wreck, but it really is. So I don't really like that message, because yeah, if you had God in there, God says that men and women were created for each other, and the woman was to help the man and the man was to lead. And now it's just like, women want to lead. Women want to do all these things. And the Bible even talks about it. They're like, women are always going to feel oppressed and suppressed by men, and men are always going to abuse their power over women. And that has definitely been true. I mean, it's true, but not every man is going to abuse their power over women. Not every woman has to feel oppressed by men. Like, I mean, I just feel like that is the cause of the downfall of Adam and Eve. And we're always going to feel it. We're always going to struggle with each other. But I think the purpose of marriage is to show the world that we can live in harmony with each mm-hmm. other, both men and women. And they're just missing out on that crucial lesson, that just all they hear is discord and unhappiness. And I'm like, I'm sorry for these children growing up, because they're never going to know what a happy family looks like. And I think that the divorce level has gotten so high now that it's almost like people don't want to get married. And there's so many children that come from broken families mm-hmm. that they know what it's like to have a united family. And it's sad, because I think that's what God wants for all of us, for men and women, is to learn how to live in harmony with each other. And I don't think we have solved that issue.
I don't think we have either. I want to. And I've been like asking everybody, how do you think we get there? Because it's just like, I don't know, you know, what it really looks like, other than like stripping it all back. And realizing that each other aren't the enemy, like we're fighting a different enemy, yeah. you know, yeah. And why don't we fight together instead of at each other? Like, hello.
Yeah, no, I think that is definitely the devil's agenda. And I think he works through people to continually split up families, pit people against each other, races against each other, anything that cause a division amongst people, because people are relational. And when you don't have a good relationship with your family or friends, like, people are not meant to be isolated mm-hmm. in this world. And that's how God created us. I think that the division is just made a way for the enemy to further degrade people. But I think that when you put God back into the equation, you will find, you know, marriages that stay together, you know. And it's just, I think we're at the end times. I really do. I don't know how this topic came to that, but I agree. Just the amount of discord and strife in our society now is just something you can't ignore it. It's just everywhere, like with everything. And I don't know, there's no way to solve it. Like, humans can't solve it. The only thing is God. God is the only one who can solve that. And I think that God knows that this was going to happen. And I think that he's just preparing for the end of the world. and Christians are going to, the Christians that have been faithful to him are going to go up to heaven. And those who didn't, you know, are going to see the other side. And that's just how it is. I don't know, Tiffany. It's so funny, because I keep thinking, like, maybe am I going to get married before all this happens, or am I just going to be, because at a certain point, you really want to, like, I really want to get married and have kids. But at a certain point, I'm like, you know, if God comes tomorrow, like, this is not going to even matter. Like, as long as I am with Christ up in heaven and we get new bodies and everything is great, like, that's not going to even make a huge difference. I think marriage was God's picture of what he wanted people to go through on this earth to challenge us and to grow us and mature us as people. But then once he comes back, I mean, we don't need the institution of marriage anymore. Mm-hmm. Sadly. But I think that, yeah, I think marriage is, and I think that's another part too, is like, it's hard to communicate that on the Facebook group that some people are going to still be single and that's okay. You know, you're still going to grow and change. It's just going to be in a different way than someone who's married, because, mm-hmm. you know, marriage does take a lot. You know, you do grow a lot and you grow in different ways, because that partner, you have to be very selfless. You have to be, you have to work together. It's, you're a unit now. You can't have your own agenda and just go off on your own. Mm-hmm. So I think that is, it's hard. And I think that's why there's so many divorces, because the society has been saying, you know, me first, let's think about, you know, and it's so selfish and it's never about the family. But then you go to other cultures like my culture, and it's always about the community and the family and less about yourself. But then there's still abuses in that time, in that type of system too, because you have a hierarchy and then the man is always right. And there's no, you know, the woman can't question at all. And the woman has like very little rights. So I don't know. It's not good either. Obviously, that's not Christian either. But,
yeah.
But I could see how like church could abuse that and be like, well, we should live in that system, you know?
Yeah. Well, see how well that's worked out so far.
Oh, because you're on the opposite end.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I could rant about all of that for a very long time. It's just so frustrating to me to like see how, I mean, again, like looking back at different things over the last, you know, 20 something years of my life, and seeing choices I made. Cool, they were the choices I made. Like, I can't go back and change them. But I think a lot of them were like societal pressures. And, you know, like I did date when I was like 18, but then he cheated. So that was the whole thing. So then I took a long time off dating. Right. And then like entering back into your dating world at like your mid-20s is insane. And then after that, also took another like long period of time off, because I was like, screw it, I'm going to go get my degree. So I was like, fine. So then I have a bachelor's and a master's. Oh. And I still don't have a ring.
Oh, my God. That's what I feel like it is. It's like, women are so overeducated at this point, like, because they actually did a study that said women are more educated nowadays than men are. Mm-hmm. because when society was pushing women into the workforce, into the education, and, you know, all this whole discrimination thing, now it's like the opposite way. It's like you have less men who are pursuing career and degree and more women. And then, because usually I think women would actually meet their partners in college, because mm-hmm. that's how it's supposed to usually end up. It's like, oh, I met my, you know, husband through my college years and blah, blah, blah. And then you would get married and then have kids and all that stuff. But now it's like, you can't even, there's not even enough men sometimes in those schools. And like, it's just so funny. It's like, I think, I don't know what they need to do, but they need to turn it around.
It's like the, I mean, I personally don't necessarily want somebody more educated than me. And, or, you know, I mean, I've dated a couple guys that are like blue collar. So they've gone and done like the, what's it called, like a trade school. So at least that I'm like, okay, cool. You like, you did, you know, something. But then I still think that points back to like the societal issue of like, you know, kind of being told that we shouldn't be looking at guys that are in that group. You know what I mean? Instead of like taking the education piece or the money piece off of it and being like, okay, well, is this guy, you know, for me, does this guy match these other qualities that I'm interested in? Does he want a family? Does he want to do these things? Does he have these common goals? You know, and can we do that if I'm not working? You know what I mean? Like, can he provide if I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom? Like, what does that look like? And so it kind of, for me, it comes down to more of that.
Oh, no, I get it. I think that it is hard. And yeah, you don't necessarily need to get a guy who's super educated, because I feel like that's boring. But yeah, I think the key components still have to be there. I think you have to have enough in common with that person that you can have like a good conversation. Mm-hmm. And some women are, you know, they don't care as much. I think I care a lot about like having good, intelligent conversations. And that's been a challenge for me to find a guy I can have a good, intelligent conversation with, because I feel like with my girlfriends, I can always have a good, intelligent conversation and we can talk about anything and everything. But with men, it's just so different. Mm-hmm. So different. I'm just, they think so differently than us. So.
You make a great point, which is why we're doing this series, What Women Think. But yeah, that's the whole point of this, I think, is to kind of have that conversation. Like, how are we really viewing things differently and what can we do about it? So, yeah. What does effective communication look and sound like to you? Because I think this is important.
Oh, okay. Gosh. Okay. Yeah, that one was hard. That was a hard one. I think nowadays in our culture, texting is a huge part of communication. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what level, what stage you are in the dating process. Of course, like if you're really like almost marriage level, like you're going to be communicating with that person constantly. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have your own little way of communicating with them that fits you. But when you're just starting out, I think it's good to establish a good texting relationship. I think that's important because of the nature, again, of the nature of our society. So you can't go for days without texting a girl. You need to text her, like, if not every day, every other day, you know? And I think that's a huge thing. In terms of effective communication. So yeah, the one part is being in constant communication with that person. But then the other part is communicating your needs. And I think that part is harder because a lot of times, like in relationships, you are scared to communicate what you want or what you need or how you feel or how a person is making you feel. And I think I've struggled with that a lot, actually, because in my culture, women are not taught to talk about our feelings. Well, in our culture in general, mm-hmm. Asian culture, and women are not taught to express our feelings and communicate how we want things to get done with a guy. So I think that has been a huge challenge, but I think that if you're able to do that in a safe space with that guy, then that's the right, you're already 50% there.
Yeah.
like if you can find a guy that you can effectively communicate with, I would say keep him. Because that's going to lead to a great marriage. Like if you're not communicating effectively with someone, you're not going to have a long-term relationship with them. That's just going to be like a friend or an acquaintance. Like mm-hmm. you can't, all good relationships rely on communication. And if you're not, if you're not communicating effectively, I don't even know what it really looks like, to be honest, but if you're not communicating effectively with someone, like you don't have to communicate every single thought you have on this planet, but
right. You're
able to know that you're understood and listened to and that you can, without fear, tell this person how you feel mm-hmm. without bias. And so, I don't know, I think that's just really hard to come by. So again, if that is something that's happening in your relationship, then I just think that's a key that this person's a good guy and that you should probably keep them for at least consider marrying them.
Wipe him up. Because it's been my experience that guys just do not know how to communicate or don't communicate on the same like wavelength. And so it's like trying to figure out what that looks like and how do we balance that, you know? And yeah, so if you find somebody that you're actually getting that communication with, heck yeah, make him put a ring on it and call it a day.
Well, yeah. And then on another, you know, on another light, I do think that women tend to be, there are some women that are attracted to men that don't. So, okay, they did another study. I'm looking at all these, I quote all these studies, but that they say women talk a lot more than men. Like men will say this amount of words and women are like triple that amount. So we talk hot. And the thing is, men, they have to, they talk very little. So they, with what little they say, they have to make sure that they're going to the point. So it doesn't mean like, it doesn't mean like men have to talk a lot like me, like a woman does, because that's probably effeminate anyways. Because men, I mean, women do want men that don't like talk a lot, like, because that's, I guess, a masculine quality. But I think the communication has to come from, I think that they're putting you first, that you're a priority, that they want to work things out with you, and that they listen to you. I think those are key things. And if a guy is able to at least say one or two words about how they feel, I mean, good. Because they, I mean, yeah, because I don't think they're going to be going, and another thing, da, 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 and I... awful, da, da, da. Like, yeah, I think that as long as they are saying the key points, I think women will be happy with that. So
I would agree, the majority of my friends would be very happy with that. And like, you make another point, listening is a huge part of effective communication. Like, if either of us aren't listening, then it's just not going to work, because you're assuming something, or you're not really hearing what the person is saying. And then you're going to cause more stress. And you're going to, if it's a man, it's going to make that woman feel like you never listened to them at all. And, you know, you just assume, and like all that stuff's going to come out. It's a fact. That will be where her brain goes. You know, and it's just, I feel like if we listened more, we could curb a lot of issues.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think even when you're dating somebody in the beginning stages, if that person's not listening to you, if you're like saying, hey, I want to hold this boundary, hold that. And the guy said, yeah. And they don't do it. That's not listening. That's not listening. Because I find that a lot of times when I try to put boundaries, and I don't know if you've read that book, Boundaries or Boundaries in Dating by Henry Cloud.
No, not yet. It's on my list.
Yeah. So I actually have the Boundaries in Dating book, but it was really hard to read because I was like, oh, man, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Take this. But you really have to put strong boundaries in before anything happens in a dating relationship, because I find that when you put a boundary down and they don't observe it, that's an automatic, you can't keep dating that person anymore. And the thing is, a lot of times, and I've seen this with myself, like you just continue dating that person even though they're not respecting your boundaries, because you think like later on maybe they will, but they never do, because you've already told them it's okay to disrespect it and continue dating you. So I don't know. It's hard. That's part of it too. Like, it really observing, especially when you're dating. In a marriage, it's not so much, because you're kind of like already intermingled and stuff. But I think when you're dating and you're not there yet, you have to put a boundary down. Physical boundaries, emotional boundaries. I don't know what other boundaries, but anyways, those two are very important, because if they don't observe it, and they go over it, but and they don't have plans on changing, then you really can't have a future with them. It's going to be really difficult, because you're always going to be like trying to push back on them. And that's a part of the reason why it's hard to date a non-Christian or as a Christian, because they're going to keep pushing the boundary of the physical intimacy. They're going to keep pushing all that stuff. And you're not going to be able to control it 100% of the time. You're going to give in, because we're human.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter @AnEpiffWithTiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.